soul to soul and spirit to spirit. Blessings. Let us talk today a little bit about prayer and treatment and meditation and contemplation. Let us just jump right into the subject. Take your single most troubling problem, whether it's one of yours or one of your relatives or friends or neighbors, patients or students, and here you have on your mind this problem. It may be a problem of lack and limitation. Let us put it this way. It may be appearing as lack and limitation. It may be a problem appearing as a health issue. It could appear as disease or discomfort. It may be a problem of relationships or lack of relationships, poor relationships or poor communication. Whatever the problem is, it's in your lap. You have the problem right in front of you. So what are we going to do about this problem? Look at the problem. We are told not to be afraid to look any problem, no matter how ugly, right in the face. So here is this problem. Now, what are we going to do about it? Well, the directions are pretty clear cut. We are not to take any person or any condition into our meditation. Yet here I have this problem in hand. Now, what is the first step? The first step is to impersonalize this problem. Who has this problem? Where is this problem located? God is the substance of all that is. Spirit is all that is. And if spirit is all that is, who can have this problem? And the answer is no one. There's no one there. We are told that problems always appear as a person or a condition. And so that right there tells us that a person and a condition is an appearance, a concept, a mental image. And so I have been entertaining this mental image. Is it my mental image? Or is it a mental image? It is a mental image. Part of the world hypnosis, there's no person and no condition attached to this mental image. This is a mental image just floating. It's just floating. And I can entertain it for a while, or I can set it aside. And I am told to set it aside, to let the wheat and the tares grow side by side outside my temple, while I go within to meditate. And so for just right now, I am going to recognize that this is a mental image, and no healing can ever take place on a mental image. So I do not need to work on that. I need to set it aside, and I'm going to do that now. Now I'm going to turn within. Close my eyes if I haven't already done so. And here I sit in the darkness. What am I supposed to do next? Oh, that's right. I'm supposed to contemplate truth. So let me be still and see what truth comes to me to contemplate. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and God is in its temple? And how many temples are there? One temple. There is one temple of the living God, and God is in that temple. And that temple is invisible to the senses. Yet that temple is omnipresent. Christ has one body. And that body everywhere present. And God, the Spirit, animates that body. And so only spiritual activity can take place in the omnipresence of God. In the first chapter of Genesis, God created all that is. And God itself manifested. That is the creation of God, in which we live and move and have our being. That is the temple of God. And God is in its temple, animating, moving, living, being. And so God is the only presence. God is the only life. God is the only mind. God is the only being. I am here within to become still so that I may become aware of that God being. The conscious awareness of God dissolves any mental image. and so it's not the mental image I need to work on or look at. It is the conscious awareness of God that I need to experience. And how do I do that? I am told that I may ask for anything, so long as it is spiritual. And so I am perfectly free here in this inner temple to say, Father, reveal thyself. Let my awareness expand so that I may know thee. Let me have the conscious awareness of thy presence. You speak. I listen. My function is to be receptive to your voice, to listen ever attentively. Father, you speak. You reveal. You say your word. I do not live by anything external. I live by your word. Father, speak your word. When God speaks, the earth melts. This scripture does not say, when God speaks, the earth gets good. And so, if I have been trying to change a bad earth into a good earth, if I have been trying to change or to get God to change lack into abundance, disease into health, loneliness into companionship, bad into good, then I am not listening, I am not living by that scripture. When God speaks, when you hear the word of God, it does not change a bad earth into a good earth. That's the wrong approach. What becomes of the earth when God speaks? When God speaks, the earth melts. Have you ever seen something melt down into nothing? Have you ever seen something dissolve? I am not here in my temple to have God correct something out here. I am not here in my inner temple to have God heal a mental image and make it a good mental image. No, all of that is the wrong approach. Well, what then is spiritual healing? What am I trying to do in here, in this inner temple? I am here to listen, to be receptive, until I hear the word of God. And when I hear the word, the earth melts. It dissolves. And in its place, I have the awareness of God itself. And then I rest back and commune with that God in that awareness. And so I am here to receive the word of God that all mental images might melt. and I cannot melt the earth of mental images. Only one can melt the earth, and that is the word of God spoken by God within, by the I that I am. Now I know what I am here to do. I am here to be receptive, to receive from that spirit within an impartation. I am here to receive the word, whether it comes in words or thoughts, whether it comes in a feeling of the presence, whether it comes in a smell of flowers, whether it comes in a release, whether it comes in a quick, short breath, whether it comes in a sense of peace. All that I am here to do is to receive the Word of God. And I don't know how it melts the earth. But I know that it does. So now that I know what I am here to do, let me be still. Let me be listening. Father, grant me thy word. Speak. Here in your inner temple is the living presence of the I, never born, never dying. I is always imparting, but we haven't been listening. Now, here, at this very moment, we are listening. We are receptive. Not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit do we receive the Word. And that word is quick and sharp and powerful. And that word melts the earth and reveals the spiritual kingdom. And so spiritual healing, we now understand, is allowing the word to melt the earth. And this it does in quietness and stillness. I have come to melt the earth, to dissolve the second chapter of Genesis. I have come to dissolve that false creation and to reveal that my creation is perfect, that I in the midst of thee is perfect, that I am manifest as all being, as all life everywhere, and I am perfect. And if you feel that presence, that stirring, and you hear that word, rest in it. Stay in it as long as awareness of it lasts. Now, when you open your eyes and you continue with whatever your work is to do this day, if you have experienced that inner release because the word has touched your consciousness, then you are free. The earth will melt in some way that you may never know. And that will manifest as harmony. Where the problem was appearing, where the second chapter of Genesis was appearing, as it melts, the first chapter of Genesis appears. As you go through your day, if you have the problem come back to your mind and you start wrestling with it, you must sit down and go through the same process. Now, the next time you go through the process, the words may be entirely different. You may set the mental image aside, close your eyes, become still, and hear an entirely different message. You may hear no message, but just receive a sense of peace, an inner knowing that God is being God. The point is that you return again. The point is that you commune with I. Until the appearance does not return unto you. And harmony becomes evident. Now, what did you do to bring about that harmony? Nothing. You did nothing to bring about that harmony. You were not attempting to make the bad earth a good one. What you did was you recognized that here's another appearance. And knowing that you could do nothing about an appearance, you realize that healing could not take place in the second chapter of Genesis, and so you abandoned that whole concept, that whole idea. You turned within to commune with God itself, to receive an impartation, to receive the word, which melts the entire second chapter of Genesis. And then in its place, you became aware of the harmony of being. And so you did nothing to bring it about. You simply rested here and allowed God to reveal its harmony. Now, as you repeat this process again and again, each time it becomes a little easier. It really gets to the point where you have developed your consciousness to where when error hits up against it, because the word is being entertained almost continuously, when error hits up against your consciousness, it melts. What is the mind that which was in Christ Jesus? A consciousness filled with the Word of God. That is the mind that was in Christ Jesus, and that is why when error hit up against his consciousness, it melted without him going through any processes most of the time. And it will be the same with you. Through the practice of this very means of communing, you will develop your consciousness where it is automatic. And then your consciousness will be Christ consciousness. I know we talk in absolutes and we talk about Christ is the reality of your being. But that really is not true. Yes, that's right. I just said Christ is not the reality of your being. Not in demonstration. Not in a living experience. Christ is not the reality of your being until through this process, through the practice of these principles, you develop the consciousness that is filled with the Word of God. And then I takes over. And then your consciousness is Christ. And then you can know Christ is the reality of my being and Christ liveth me. And then the error that hits up against your consciousness will melt. Not because you melt it, but because the Word entertained within you melts it. And so it really does require that you practice these principles daily, hourly, consistently, over and over and over again. Day after day, week after week, month after month, and sometimes year after year. To make the transition from a human being to that Christ consciousness requires that you practice. Just what we're talking about. And so if it helps you, do what I do and contemplate the truth. When God speaks, it doesn't change a bad earth into a good one. We need to let go of that concept. No, when God speaks, it melts the earth. All of it. Because the earth is the second chapter of Genesis, created by Lord God. The earth is Adam's dream. Both the bad and the good. And so we do not want either one. We do not want a repaired dream. We do not want a fixed up mental image. We do not want the second chapter of Genesis, no matter how good it is. We want the first chapter of Genesis, the Garden of Eden, oneness with God. We want the living awareness of God speaking the Word, manifesting itself as harmony everywhere, as omnipresent being, as divine life, eternal. So that everywhere God looks, God declares, this is very good. This is very God. This is myself. My body, infinite. My mind, omniscient. My spirit, omnipresent. And my will, omnipotent. Yes, this will require practice. At some point in our spiritual journey, we must, in the quiet of the night, turn to ourselves and realize, I am not getting anywhere. I am still a human being after all these years of study. What am I missing? Or we can turn to ourselves and say, I am not seeing any healing, any spiritual healing. This problem goes on and on. What am I missing? And when we see it, when we have it brought to our attention, well, you know what? You're trying to pull God into the second chapter of Genesis called human life. A mortal existence. And God won't enter that because it's not a real world at all. It's a group of mental concepts. It's mental concepts going on in Adam's dream. And God is too pure to behold Adam's dream. And so if we come to that conclusion, then we need to turn to ourselves and say, okay, I don't want to leave here the same way I got here. Meaning, this existence that I'm having. I want to really grow spiritually. And by that I mean I want to make the transition from a human being thinking mental thoughts to that one who has their being in Christ and who entertains the Word of God as their consciousness. In other words, I want to die to all that is human and become that living Christ. Become the living Word of God as Christ consciousness here and now. And so it's going to be up to me to do this work. I'm going to have to find the time. I'm going to have to arrange my life. Perhaps I'm going to need to let go of some things that interfere with me getting the time to study and to meditate and to pray as we have just outlined. Perhaps I'm going to have to arrange my day. Now, I don't need to go live in an ashram somewhere or up in a monastery on the side of a mountain. But I do need to find a way to have brief periods of communion throughout the day. And whether I leave myself little notes, or whether I mark it on the back of my hand, or in some way or another, I have these several periods each day. And if I wake up in the middle of the night, I have one then. It's going to be up to me. This part is not up to God. God's grace gives us that initial awakening, which starts us on the journey, or we would never start at all. But you and I must make the effort and practice these principles and practice this meditation in order to make the transition. You and I must make the act of commitment, the act of dedication. And we are told that God meets us halfway, and we are lifted up on our journey from the prodigal son to the beloved son. So at some point we must take this very seriously, and say, I'm going to do this. I don't care what my neighbor is doing. I don't care what my family's doing. I am going to do this. This is what I want. The living, eternal life of Christ. And if you have made that commitment, then you will begin to practice just what we've outlined today. And so remember the principle. When God speaks, the bad earth does not become a good earth. When God speaks, the earth melts. The entire earth melts. The entire second chapter of Genesis melts. And this should happen in every single meditation. And when the earth melts, we become aware of the first chapter of Genesis, in which God is living and being and manifesting and ising. As our experience, now this is a real living experience. You experience this God ising as you in the first chapter of Genesis. And so when God speaks, the earth melts. That was the principle I received this week. Just six words, six or seven words. And yet because I received it as an impartation within, it is the word which melts the earth and will melt the earth for anyone else that hears this, that has ears to hear. And it will go on and on, melting the earth to anyone else that hears it. I don't care if it's 100 years or 1,000 years from now. If you hear this, anyone that hears this, that word will melt the earth right then. Because my word shall not pass away. Ever. Remember this now, each and every meditation that you have. I don't care what the problem is. When you recognize that when God speaks, the earth melts, then you will no longer be trying to change the bad earth into a good one, a bad problem into a good human experience. You'll be done with all that. And you will just be standing to the side, as we are told, and watching as a witness as the stone is cut out of the mountain without hands, as the earth melts in front of your eyes. Or perhaps a better way to say that would be, the earth melts in front of your eye because your eye is single. God speaks, the earth melts. And it's wonderful, because harmony appears. Harmony was there, but you didn't see it. It was blocked by the glass darkly, by the second chapter of Genesis. But now when God speaks, the glass darkly melts. And harmony, well, you become aware of harmony. And you'll never understand how this works, so don't try. Just be willing to be a witness, a beholder, as the experience happens again and again. And your consciousness will become Christ consciousness, and Christ consciousness has ever been the spiritual healing consciousness. This really is yours for the taking. It's yours, ever yours. God is no respecter of persons. God didn't give this Christ consciousness to one and say, now I want you to go develop a spiritual program and write a lot of books and make a lot of talks. However, I'm not going to give this to anybody else. No. You know better than that. No, God said, here. Here is the Christ consciousness. It's disappeared from the earth for thousands of years, but I'm giving it again. This is the second coming of Christ consciousness. I am giving it to whomsoever will. Only reach for it. Practice. If it takes 5 years, so what? So what? It is worth every minute of effort. I can tell you this. But it will not come at all if you don't make the effort. The harvest is plentiful. Why don't you have some of it? Why don't you have all of it, since all of us can have all of it? That's the beauty of omnipresence. I can have the allness of God, and you can have the allness of God at the same time. And so God said, I have come to give you Christ consciousness. And so he instructed some of us to write books and make talks, and anybody that hears the word will experience the word, will be led to the word, and the word will become them and go on eternally, immortally, forever. Never ending. Oh, please, please, decide to practice this. In this way, we can bring about Christ consciousness on earth until Christ consciousness becomes the only earth. And the old earth will pass away, and a new earth will appear. That's what we're promised. And let's you and I live the promise. Let's live the promise of the Father. The world will roll up like a scroll. That's the second chapter of Genesis. Will roll up like a scroll. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Let us come into this, our inheritance. It's right here for the reaching. Right here for the practicing. And the whole secret to the world rolling up like a scroll, and the new earth, a new Jerusalem, is receiving the word within your being, within your consciousness. And when you receive the word, the old earth melts, and a new earth appears in each and every meditation. It's all up to you. Will you partake of this feast? I truly hope you do. And as you come into your awareness of the new earth, drop me a note so that I may celebrate with you the birth of that new earth, and I may rejoice with you in your discovery that you have never left home, that you are standing in the first chapter of Genesis. In the real, eternal creation of God. Thank you so much, and I love you. Blessings.